World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from one of our Canadian studios, here's Leon Fontaine.
Hey everybody, welcome today. It's so good to have you with me as we dive into God's Word and just talk about principles that can change our lives. And I love to get very practical. Like, I love the doctrines in God's Word. Been teaching them for decades, but I love to see the practicality. What is God, was God doing? Why did he do it this way? And so today we're going to call our message that God created the laws, the principles that govern the worlds. And you know, a lot of times we all believe that God created animals and people in the earth, and we forget something. He created the laws, the science laws, the laws of gravity, lift and thrust. He created the principles that make this planet work. And so we don't need to ask God to make another monkey. Monkeys look after that themselves. There's a principle of sowing and reaping. We don't need to say, hey, well, you're going to have to make another apple tree. He designed everything that they put on the planet to be governed by certain laws. And the reason I'm saying this is because it has a part to play in us Christians when it comes to using faith. When it comes to speaking to mountains, when it comes to, like Jesus said, the things that I do, shall you do also. Well, what exactly did Jesus do? And he didn't say, except for these six. Well, he raised the dead, healed sick bodies, caught a fish with a coin in it to pay his taxes, walked on the water, calmed the storms. When an entire crowd tried to kill him, he just turned around and walked through them unseen. I don't know what happened there. They just couldn't find him. They couldn't kill him. He said, no one's going to kill me till I decide. And so he said that no one takes my life. I lay it down freely. They couldn't kill him. Like, when you begin to look at Jesus is our example of a human being filled with God, because he was God. But when you look at you and I, the way Christianity today tends to work is, well, we pray and ask God. If it doesn't happen, God said no. If it does happen, God said yes. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And so I wanted today to just kind of just spark your thinking a little bit and get you to recognize that maybe there's more than just asking God and waiting to see, or trying to get more faith and get more faith and get more faith. And that's the problem. I don't have enough faith in God. One of the things I've begun to recognize over the years as a pastor, a husband, a father, a paramedic, all the different areas in of my life and the seasons of my life, I begin to recognize that God made laws that govern the physical world, but he also made laws that govern the supernatural power that he has. They govern the spirit world. There are laws in the spirit world as well. There are laws that govern how, you know, when we can speak to mountains. And all of the Word of God is not so much about just obey and follow God, if you see that as just he either does it or doesn't do it, because there's so many verses in the Bible, a ton of them in the New Testament, that tell us he's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the way that we go, the way that we cause that to work is through his promises. It already says that by his stripes you were healed. So Peter says that. So any sickness or disease you have now or in your future that pushes at you, the healing power is already given to you. If you need a miracle because something broke an arm and crushed a joint, that miracle's already been given to you. Anything you need for life, it's been given to you. And so when we don't dive into God's Word and learn that he created principles, that we must learn the principles, and someone said to me, well, Ben, are you saying that we can walk in the supernatural power of God, but it's not him deciding? That would just kind of be like, what would make you love God? What would make you want to seek God? And I'm thinking, that guy doesn't get it. Like, if I have a child and all they ever do when they come to me is beg me for the car, for money, for a new room, for a new bedspread, for this, can you do this? Every time they see me, they're asking and bugging me. Well, what I'm training them to do is to learn to brush their own teeth, handle their own body odor, learn to put their body to sleep when it should and get good, how to walk across the street, how to drive a car. What am I doing? I'm raising this child up to learn to be sufficient, to manage their own life. God has done the same thing. And so now when my kids want to hang out with me, now they're even grown up and they're all doing well, we don't even... That's not even a conversation, because there are guidelines and principles and laws that they're obeying and learning to work. But they still spend a lot more. We spend better time together now because I don't have to keep figuring things out for them. The same is with God. It is God that put this world together. It is God that causes heart faith to move subatomic particles. It is God who's put it into place that if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it quickens your mortal body. It doesn't say, ask me and I'll quicken your mortal body. It says it will just quicken your mortal body. Just believe that. It doesn't say you speak to mountains and if you do it right, I'll move it for you. It says they'll obey you. What? What do you mean they'll obey you? It's showing you and I that God loves us so much that he put principles into this world. And we need to learn the physical scientific laws. We need to learn the laws that govern faith and grace and righteousness. And when we understand our conscience and how there is just so many beautiful doctrines in God's word, all of them are to help you live in victory. Or we get a whole ton of people who just teach no victory, that all the storms of life are here to teach you something, and so you'll be broken, he'll nail you when you're proud. God will allow storms to teach you stuff. And all of this stuff I've talked on before, but none of that's true. None of it's true. It's just a bunch of people who have never allowed the word of God to be taught to them by revelation. They just look at it with their mind and their reasoning. And so as we learn these laws in the Word of God, you're going to be amazed at how much your life changes and how much you fall in love with God even more. You never think you're it. You just go, oh, God, you're incredible. And so one of the principles to learn is the principle of faith. And so I want to talk about that a little bit here. Everybody's got the measure of faith. Everybody has the same measure of faith, Romans 12 says. And so, but we've got to learn to use that measure of faith. So here in Hebrews 11, it kind of gives us a bit of a description. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So right off the bat, it is saying here that faith is, which is present tense, faith is not believing some fine day in the future, and that faith is the substance of things hoped for, or that what you are hoping for, you begin to rise up with a sense of, yeah, wow. And another version says the title deed, or that there is a legality to this, that I have rights and privilege. I'm an heir of an inheritance. So this faith, as you begin to dream and desire, if you can't build it or get there with just the physical world, faith, which is of the heart, it says here, will help you get the things you desire. And then it says, there's evidence, faith is evidence of things not seen. You see, all evidence in a court of law comes from what has been found. It could be a hair. It could be a videotape. It could be your fingerprint. It could, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So you build up evidence. Now, as you persuade your heart, which is a deeper level than your mind is your reasoning, but the language of your heart is perceiving revelation. This is where you are able to walk as true sons of God. You are in the God class, the God family. You are not equal to God from the perspective of you have authority and power and you can just, you know, beyond him. No. God is God. We're under him, but we're in the God class. You know, cows have calves. Cats have kitties. Dogs have puppies. We are children of God. And so we're his workmanship. We are his craftsmanship. And if we are his craftsmanship, he didn't design us just to live in this world. He designed us to use faith and words like he did, like Jesus did. And he designed this world that he made. He designed subatomic particles to obey the literal beliefs, speaking, and attention of a person. And a born-again believer affects them even greater. So when we look at faith, we've got to recognize that you can't doubt in your heart, Jesus teaches in Mark 11. And faith is of the heart. So there's two kinds of faith. Faith in physical things. Like I'm sitting in a chair and I have faith that it was built right, that it's not going to crumble and a big piece of sharp wood's going to go up my leg. No, I have faith in that. When I get on a plane, I have to have faith. So, but then there is a faith that is of the heart. And when you learn to persuade your heart with God's word as to who you are, what you can do, who God is, what's the plan that he's placed here, and the principles that he's put in place. There are principles yet, even in the physical world, they haven't figured out yet. There'll be new laws they're gonna find. And the same is true for believers.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Who is Holy Spirit to you? Many Christians are unaware of the role Holy Spirit plays in their day-to-day lives. As a believer, you have a powerful advantage. Don't go your entire life unaware of who Holy Spirit is. In this three-part series, Demystifying Holy Spirit, Leon cuts through common misbeliefs and shows you how to tap into God's presence.
Hey, everybody. Those who give and have joined us in this love walk of financing this program around the world, they're so special. I'd love to have you join us. For a gift of $30 or more, I want to send you this series on the Holy Spirit and how I learned to become friends with him and his power in my life.
Receive his guidance, know Holy Spirit personally, and begin to access his miraculous ability and strength like never before. Get your copy of Demystifying Holy Spirit today.
So Holy Spirit's job is to teach and equip us to function in a way that we demonstrate God's power like Jesus, because Jesus said, what I do, you're going to do also. And the Holy Spirit's going to teach you and show you. He said there's some things you can't bear to his disciples. So when I die and rise again, is what he's saying, Holy Spirit's going to come into you, you're going to come alive, you're going to become born again. Born again what? Well, you're locked into the physical world, now you're going to become born again of the Spirit, an authority, an ability to govern again the planet, to see healing and health and protection and life, et cetera, you are over demonic spirits, fallen angels, the presence of God heals your body, it changes your very cellular makeup to healthy, it just provokes organs to be healed. It restores. When you begin to look at this life of serving Jesus, it's amazing. And we've got to understand this issue of faith. Now, when you look at this, I like what the Phillips translation says of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 to 3. Here's how it says it. Now, faith means putting our full confidence in the things that we're hoping for. It means being certain of things we actually can't see. See, a person who is locked into reasoning, like they're kind of a show me, I'm a science guy. They'll say, I don't believe it till I can see it, taste it, feel it, touch it. But what faith is there's a certainty, a locked in, no, it's going to happen, that you can't see or actually sense with your five senses. And that's what is a unique difference between men and women of God who are mature in the word and in the flow of the power of God. You don't see a lot of them around anymore. People try, fake it, and all the rest, or they just give it. But there is. This is how we are to be as believers. And so he goes on to say, they are certain of the things they can't see. It was this kind of faith that won their reputation for the saints of old. And it is, after all, only by faith that our minds accept as fact the whole scheme of time and space, that it was created at God's command, that the world which we can see has come into being through principles which are invisible. Okay, so this whole world came into being through principles which are invisible. And God himself, back up another step, created the principles that are here. And those principles you have to walk by. For example, he put gravity on the planet. Don't let your teenagers play soccer on the roof of a skyscraper, because if they happen to make one mistake, gravity will kill them. Well, God allowed it. No, God put gravity in place because it's needed, and we must learn what gravity is to respect it. And so we must learn. When we teach our children, you know, a child is a mismanager. And as you teach them to manage their lives, you teach them how important sleep is, how important it is to treat people properly. You teach them to manage their teeth, their body odor. You teach them how to dress, how to fit into society so you can succeed, have a spouse, relationships. You're teaching them to manage life for themselves. Did you know that God, when he put Adam on this planet and he told him to go subdue, to multiply, the word there is used like a manager or a steward. So, in other words, you learn all the management principles of that company, how to administrate the management systems you put in place, and God is saying the same thing to you and I, that there is this exciting, phenomenal, amazing life that you and I can live when we learn the principles of faith, learn how grace, a lot of people are grace people, some are faith people, some are suffering. There's just, we all know, how do these work together? We know there's going to be suffering on this planet. I mean, when you lose your great-grandparents, and they're going to go first, it hurts. So that hurts. So when we understand that when you learn how faith works with grace, that faith is your part, grace is God's part. Grace is his unearned favor. When you learn the principle of how to get rid of guilt and condemnation and how to not feel too insignificant and low self-worth, but how to boldly come into the throne room of God and begin to ask for mercy, ask for grace. But then in our lives here, we learn the physical laws, and then we learn the spiritual laws, the laws in God's word that are for born again believers. You know, so we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And so religion has just destroyed our ability to enjoy God, to fellowship with God, to commune with God, to literally share life with God, because we haven't even worked the principles of how to get rid of your shame, your guilt, your condemnation, on how to use this presence of God to live our life in a way that is great for family and marriage and health and home and prosperity. They're all there, but people would rather be lazy, not study the word. And they would rather just ask God, and that's it. If it doesn't happen, it's not God's will. And I know he forgives me, so I'm going to live any way I want. And they don't realize that if you break laws in the physical, there's consequences. If you break spiritual laws, there's consequences. To not just use your faith, there's consequences. To not understand grace, there's consequences. To not become born again has consequences. To not just spend time in the word has consequences. You say, well, Leon, God's not getting anybody. He's just placed rules and principles in place. And if we don't learn them, it's our own fault. And so we must learn to dive into his word. Faith is a distinctive mark of the saints of old. They didn't have a Bible to read. An angel would appear and say, and give them a command. And then they would obey that command because that was God's word delivered through an angel. Today we have it written down. It's even better. We have so much of it written down. And today we just keep thinking, well, I have to have more faith first, because I don't know if I believe that. Listen, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. As you learn, and Paul often talked about, he didn't just preach the Bible, he preached the message of the cross. His death, his burial, his resurrection, this new life. How did Jesus come out of Hades? How did he come out of there once he was put there for your and my sin? How did he break free with his faith? He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's oversighting a whole new set of laws that are there for every born-again believer, that you have authority over demons, you have authority over the entire curse of the law. Anything written in the curse in Deuteronomy 28, verses 16 and on, is under your dominion, because it's under Jesus' dominion and we're under him, we're in him. So none of that, when it comes to protection, when it comes to peace, joy, health, laughter, great relationships, all of these things, we're living in a world where everybody dies. Okay? But yet the Bible says your youth can be renewed like the eagles. You can begin to speak life to the very cells of your body, and your youth can be renewed. It literally will have you so that even as you grow old, how are you going to die? Well, God didn't make senior citizens to have to scream and suffer and joints that don't work and growths and cancers and dementia and all these things that we think is a part of life. No, it's not to the believer, because it's under the curse of the law. And so, well, Leon, how do people die? I know tons of people who they just continued to grow. You'd see the skin wrinkle a little bit. They had just a strength and a passion. And one day they just went to be with Jesus in their sleep, and they just went through the curtain into the very presence of God. It doesn't say we have to suffer because we're 70, 80, 90. And even without Christ, there's people who don't believe that and look after themselves pretty good. So we just have a ton of what I call our misbeliefs. And these misbeliefs, which is wrong believing, they stop us from walking in the principles that God has created for us, walking this new life that Jesus died in our place and he substituted. There's a great exchange that took place. There's so much. And I'm mentioning a lot of things, hoping that you'll remove yourself from religious negative stuff and you'll begin to believe. You'll begin to pursue the mind of Christ, that I can learn the principles of faith, of what is this new birth? What is a wisdom that doesn't come from the five senses, but it's given from the Holy Spirit as he shows us the word? Even the Bible, people without Holy Spirit who aren't born again will read the Bible and they can't understand. It's written in a mysterious code. It's a mystery that they're not ever going to get, because it's delivered to us. It is literally, there's a revelation, an aha. There's a lifting of the veil that the five senses could never see, but Holy Spirit comes in and you'll start to read. And all of a sudden it's like he just reaches out and pulls the curtains back and you go, oh my. Oh my, look at this. That's how I read the word. It is stunning, amazing, phenomenal. And it affects everything that I do, every role that I've chosen, from husband to father to grandfather to pastor to CEO to television to schools and moving on ahead and praying powerfully over governments there is so much. The more I read, the more excited I get. And I just pray that you would grasp this with your mind, that these rules, these guidelines that are put in place, you break them or ignore them at your own detriment. You know, the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. Okay, we got to understand what sin is. Sin doesn't mean that you don't go to heaven. There are, I think, 9 different words for the word sin. The most common one, hamartia, is that you miss the mark for God's best. That's sin. So if your wife said bye, honey, and you were mad at her, and you didn't come back in love and just believing, and you walked out, that thing that you did, that ignoring her, that was sin. Or, in other words, you missed the mark for God's best, for your marriage. And when you realize that, I mean, the sin that sends you to hell, the Bible says, is to not accept Christ as Savior and Lord. That's, once you do, you're going to go to heaven. That's a guarantee. If you believe on Jesus, you become born again. Now, all the other sins missing the mark can hurt a lot of areas. Like, it can hurt your relationships. It can hurt a ton of stuff. It's smart to learn the principles and to live by them, but it's more for how you relate to your spouse, your kids, your financial partner. There's so many things that are principles of how to live on this world great, and if not, it's a sin. Or you almost need to put this in there. Well, Leon, is that a sin? Well, what do you mean by that? Did you miss the mark for the best that God has for you? Well, yeah. Well, then, yeah, that's what sin is, and most of those areas, you write it down. So if you're not using faith, developing, to not get into God's, the Bible is another verse, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not. to him it is sin. He's saying here, he doesn't say, if you don't do something right, you're going to hell. That's a whole different thought or teaching. He's saying that if you know to do right and you don't do it, you just miss the mark for God's best. And so it's amazing how we've taken words and religion has almost destroyed our ability to rise up and to live like sons of God. Well, my time is up. I pray that something challenged you, excited you. There's a life far beyond anything religion has shown us. Let's go be sons of God and live with such passion and in the power and the demonstration of the power of God. If you don't know this Jesus I'm talking about, right now just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior. I choose you. I'm following you for the rest of my days. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Amen. Once you choose him, you begin this relationship. And there's so much to learn. Keep watching this program. And I just pray that you will just stick to it. Don't care what your friends in the peanut gallery around you say. You found something real. Keep watching. Find a great church if you can't. Just stay tuned and ask us for help. Let us know. Email us, and we'll help you on this beautiful journey.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media